الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. The first question reads, what should our response be to those who curse the Sahaba and call them kuffar?
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته واهتدى بهداه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. The response to those or towards those who cursed the Sahaba and named them kuffar. First of all, what is the ruling of the one who does this? The ulama say the one who criticized the Sahaba as they kuffar, or the majority of them kuffar, is considered to be kafir, because if he considers the Sahaba kuffar, that means that he would not take any hadith of them, because the kuffar, we're supposed not to take a hadith from them. And this means that we are going to reject the whole religion. That means that we are going to reject the whole religion, because the religion is only came to us and conveyed by the Sahaba. It's only conveyed to us through the Sahaba. So if we name the Sahaba kuffar, this means that we are not going to take any of their hadith. And if we are not going to take of their any of their hadith, then we are not going to know Islam. Now, so whoever says the Sahaba kuffar is kafir. No doubt in that. Rather than he curses them. Now, if it is, yani the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, it is he who named his fellow brother kafir, then it is either as he said, or it returns back to the one who said it first. And in regard to the cursing, he Sallallahu said, the one, he said, سباب المسلم فسوق وقتال الكفر. He who, and he said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, insulting and cursing the Muslim is fisk. That is the normal Muslim, the common Muslim. And who fights the Muslim, and fighting the Muslim is considered to be kufr. Yani although the ulama say it does not necessarily mean kufr akbar, major kufr, but still that this is with normal Muslims. And when these people curse and name and give the name as kuffar to the whole Sahaba, except four, as they say only four are exempted, are remained on Islam. Only four who remain on Islam, the rest are kuffar. So what does that mean? It means the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were kuffar. They don't exempt no one except Khadija radiallahu anha, because she passed away at the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also they curse the great narrators of hadith, like Abu Huraira, Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Amr, Abdullah ibn Abbas, and others. And they exempt only four, who are Ammar ibn Yasir, Salman al-Farisi, al-Miqdad ibn Amr, and I forgot the fourth, and none of them is from Ahlul Bayt. The exempted ones, and none of them from Ahlul Bayt. So it means that even they name Ahlul Bayt kuffar. So, think of it. Those who curse the Sahaba, how good they can be. As Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said, that these ones, the Rafida, are worse than the Yehud and Nasara. Why? He said, because the Yehud and Nasara respected the companions of their prophets, while the Rafida disrespect and curse the companions of Rasulullah. And by the ijma' of the ulama, that the companions of Prophet Muhammad as the best companions of all the prophets, and they are the best of mankind after the prophets and messengers. And prophets and messengers, the top quality of believers, right after them comes the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But they curse them and name them kuffar. Not only that, they also suspect the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam committing zina, iyadan billah. And by that, they reject the Quran, where in Surah An-Nur, 10 ayat Allah Ta'ala descended to free her of this suspicion. And Allah cursed those who continue suspecting her of this crime. But they still. So, what type of advice we could give to the brother who have contacted these people? Just run away from them the way you run away from lion, the way you run away from diseases, the way you run away from anything that can harm you. Wallahu a'lam.
Question from the floor. Could you come a bit closer, please, brother, so we can hear you on the microphone?
Regarding this topic. Regarding this topic, I'm trying to ask, what is the background for people cursing or rejecting the Sahaba as Prophet and who do this, and if we could explain how this topic has come to be?
Now, first of all, these people are the Rafidah, and nobody else cursed the Sahaba of Rasulullah. And disrespect them with very bad names, except these people, the Rafida. And the Rafida is a group of people who found by the Yahud, the enemies of all the prophets and messengers. We know that the Yahud background, they are the enemies of the prophets and messengers. And we know how bad they treated our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They poisoned the meat for him. They brought the covenant with him, and they had an agreement with the kuffar to fight against him in the battle of the trench. You guys from outside, we are from inside. And many things like that. This Yahud, they brought a man called Abdullah bin Saba, a Yahudi from Yemen. There is group of Yahud living in Yemen since long, long time, many hundred years. So they asked one of them to come with a plan, because the Arabs know the Yahud. So they brought this one as a Yemeni, right? But he's Yahud. And he came and made the people to believe that he embraced Islam and he practiced and he became so pious, until he attracted the hearts of these simple people. He did not come to Medina, because in Medina, the Sahaba there, they can easily recognize him. The plan was to plant him in the borders, which just newly came to Islam. So they don't know what is Islam. So this man came there and had a big influence over the people there. And he made them to believe that Ali is Allah. And this is in the history. You can go to Al-Bidayah and Nihayah for Ibn Kathir, and you read about that. So they came to Ali, and they said, they named themselves as the Shia of Ali. Shia of Ali means the supporters of Ali. the followers of Ali. That is the meaning of Shia in Arabic. Okay? So they said, we are the Shia of Ali. We are the supporters of Ali. But Ali dig the trench, dig the big hole, and put on a fire in it. And he said to them, if you don't stop of this claim that Ali is Allah, I'm going to throw you in it. This guy, Abdullah bin Sabah al-Yahudi, said to them, didn't I tell you that he is Allah? Don't you know that no one can burn people except Allah? So Ali decided to kill them. Some of the Sahaba said to him, no, don't kill them, leave them. But he insisted to kill them, but while he was discussing that with the Sahaba, many of them escaped. From them, Abdullah bin Sabah, he escaped. He escaped to another place and he started planting his evil everywhere. So from there, the Shia is found. And they started cursing the Sahaba. And the reason why they are doing that, it is because, as we said, that they are planted by the Yahud who hate the Haqq. They hated it from Musa alayhi salam. They hated it from Isa alayhi salam, as well as they hated it from Muhammad alayhi salam. They did not accept it from Isa, from Musa. They did not accept it from no one. They're the ones who said that Isa is a legitimate child. And they said that his mother, which is a very pious woman, has done adultery with whom? With Dawood, David, the prophet. Look at how these people, So, they have an agenda behind that. It is to destroy Islam. And that's how they come up with their books. They say, the Quran, which is in the hand of the Ahlul Sunnah, is not correct. It's less. It is only one third of the Quran revealed it. But they claim that they have the Quran of Fatima. They are liars. Fatima never said that she has a special Quran. Ali radiallahu anhu said that Rasulullah didn't give us anything special for us, the family of Rasulullah, except what he mentioned about supporting Ahlul Bayt and respecting them, which we do. We Ahlul Sunnah are the ones who respect Ahlul Bayt. Have you ever heard us cursing Ali? We never say that. We always say radiallahu anhu. Don't you see the book of Bukhari and Muslim include many ahadith of Ali? How we curse him and we bring his hadith? Now, same thing with Fatima, with Hassan, with Hussein, but they are liars, and they fabricated a hadith. Silly. When you hear, they, for example, Ayatul Kursi, they came and added something to it. This book is the speech of Allah. No one can make like it. No one. And Allah challenged them from day one. Until now, I'm from the Arab. I say that no one can bring anything, even a small surah, like it. No one. Whatsoever. Once people fabricate, they won't fabricate Quran, any simple Muslim will immediately recognize it. Tell you something. At that time, at the time of Rasulullah, there was a layer man, somebody, a layer called Musaylama. Musaylama claimed that he is a prophet. And he wanted to please Rasulullah. He said, "Ya Muhammad is a prophet. My Lord told me he is a prophet and I am a prophet." They said, "Okay, Muhammad brought the Quran. What do you brought?" He said, "Yeah. Also, Allah revealed to me the Quran." "What is that?" He said, "Ya filu, ya filu, laka zakumun tawilu." Very silly thing. Very silly. Everyone looked at it and said, "Is this a Quran? Oh elephant, you have a long trunking. What's that? These people, the Shia, they came to many ayat and they changed and corrupted. Ayatul Kursi, for example. How beautiful it is. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm lahu ma fi as-samawati wa ma fi al-ardi man alladhi yashfa'u 'indahu illa bi idhnihi ya'lamu ma bayna aydihim wa ma khalfahum wa la yuhituna bi shay'in min 'ilmihi illa bima sha'a wasi'a kursiyyuhu as-samawati wa al-ardi wa la yu'udhu hifdhuhuma wa huwa al-'aliyyu. Yani it's a very beautiful, yani you hear it, your ear likes to hear it. Look at this. They said الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وما بينهما وما تحت الثرى. This is an ayah from Surah Taha. They cut it and they brought it here. You say, ah, this is the way the ayah of Kursi should be. And يعني, they come to some ayah and say, بلغ ما أنزل إليك من ربك أن الولاية لعلي وإن لم تبلغ فما. They add يعني something. ها بلغ ما أنزل إليك من ربك. Then they say أن الولاية لعلي. From where you get that? يعني you feel like it's like يعني a gap or a bump like this, you know. It's not going. The speech of Allah is going يعني very smooth and nice and. You know, so these people, the intention behind having this group is to destroy Islam, as well as all the other deviant groups. Qadiyaniya, for example, who found them? The kuffar, and they support them with money. And, you know, so this is the yani. The reason why they curse the Sahaba and who these people are. Allah Alam.
The question asks, one of the fitnas is people of Ahl Sunnah doing Salah in different ways, hands on chest or below the navel, for example. What is your advice in dealing with such differences?
First, let me ask you, what fitna is in there? This is based on ijtihad. What fitna is in there? Do you want Ahl Sunnah to be tutakars? All of them look the same, run the same? Okay. There is something called ijtihad. The ulama of Ahl Sunnah, they do ijtihad. The Prophet said, إِذِ اجْتَهَدَ الْحَاكِمُ فَأَصَابَ لَهُ أَجْرًا وَإِذِ اجْتَهَدَ فَأَخْطَأَ فَلَهُ أَجْرًا. If the scholar of Ahl Sunnah yani does ijtihad, does his best to reach the haqq, and if he does reach the haqq, he would be given double reward. But if he did not, if he missed it, he is not going to be punished, he is going to have one time reward. Why? This is to make us not yani blind followers, to make us yani able to understand. So Ahl Sunnah have ijtihad. And for example, the Malikis, their ijtihad lead them to that the hands to be to the side in all the prayer, before and after ruku. The Hanafis, they put it under their navel. I like that. But if when you come to yani seek the haqq, yani we tell you the haqq that we believe, that it should be on the chest. Okay? Some of Ahl Sunnah say yes, on the chest, before ruku', but after ruku', on the side. What I believe is before and after is on the chest. This does not make any yani problem. I should not make any dispute or five things. Or no. This is called yani different understandings. That's it. But when you come to the usul, the principles of the deen itself, you see all of these, the people of haqq, I don't mean that all the Hanafis are yani having all the ijtihad in how to place their hands. La. Or all the Malikis. Or la. There are some ijtihads which are not accepted from all the four madahib. some of them less, some of them more. And this ijtihad based on the usul. The usul is not يعني, a matter of يعني, ijtihad. Like, for example, tawassul with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We cannot say this is ijtihad which is acceptable. No, we say it is not acceptable. But yet we cannot name them يعني, kuffar or out of Islam. Now, we say that they committed bid'ah. And maybe they are from Ahlul Bid'ah, some of them, right? But in the issues of fiqh, oh, we should not make it a big issue. Now, yes, one of us should only chase the haqq which adheres the dalil, the proofs and evidences from the Quran and Sunnah, as the Sahaba understood it. Now, but if he cannot, and he, followed certain madhab, and he prays his hand to the side, his hand on the chest, and the nabat, inshallah, he's still up on the haqq. Naam, Allah a'lam.
Don't mean to be rude, but any other people, because both brothers have asked questions in the last couple of days, anybody else? If not, Ibrahim? The question is, what is the punishment of Luke playing football? Or the dismissibility of playing football while they're exposing their aura?
Right. First of all, what is whether the kuffar or the Muslims, whether يعني, to expose the aura or not, some may say this is because يعني, it's one way of da'wah. We say no, the ways of da'wah is يعني, limited to the sunnah. Ways of da'wah, if it is way of da'wah, say it is limited to sunnah, to the sunnah. Now, but if it is just for entertainment, we say if it is for entertainment, it's permissible with the condition that, first of all, the hour should not be exposed, the prayer should not be delayed just for the match or the exercise or whatsoever. And it is better not to be with the kuffar, because what we found, even in the clubs and international clubs and like that, it brings some kind of, softness with the kuffar and, To limit that, today, we see the children in our country wearing t-shirts with the names of the kuffar coming to the masajid. I remember some names. Inshallah. Ronaldo, Robin. This is in the prayer. In the prayer, we see them. Now, and some of them, it's not only wearing. They go to the shop, and they say, "I want the shirt of Brazil. I want the number of so and so." So this now, we are bringing the love towards the kuffar while we don't notice, But no problem, as I said it one time, no problem that we have, we play football or entertainment with other masajid, other Muslims. Some would say this is the Ikhwan Muslimin way. No, this is not Ikhwan, this is the Muslimin way. This is the Muslimin way, not the Ikhwan Muslimin as the group, as the Hizb. But the Muslimin, the Sahaba used to play. They say, okay, limited to how the Sahaba, they used to wrestle only. Akhi, this is not correct. Who said that? Let's go back to Al-Al. Let's go back to the legend of Daima. Let's go back to the major scholars. Now, if it is free of the oppositions to the Sunnah, then why not? or play together. Now, and with all the yani, conditions of Islam, we wear long trousers and long shirt to cover also above the trousers, yani, cover the awrah. And we break with, at the time of Salah and we go pray and like that. Alhamdulillah. And with a condition. The challenge that we see to limit that one break the leg of the other, and this is not correct. It should not lead to that. If it is only entertainment that we yani, enjoy it and exercise and build up our bodies, no problem. But what we see today, it's a kind of yani, challenging and competing and to limit that yani, sometimes they fight, sometimes they use bad words, sometimes they yani, injure each other intentionally. This is not correct and not yani, acceptable. But again, as I said at the beginning, if it is for the purpose of da'wah, then we say no. The da'wah should not come through football. And Rasulullah ﷺ did not allow the Sahaba to yani, entertain as a method of da'wah. No. Yani, he allowed the Abyssinians to play with their swords and weapons in the masjid, not as a way of da'wah to bring them to Islam. Now, No, the Abyssinians. From the Brazilians at that time, I think. There was no Brazil at that time at all. Columbus found. So طيب على كل حال يعني as we said we should not take it as a method of da'wah, as a way of da'wah. But if we want يعني if we have youth in the masjid and they are so attracted to football and we want to keep them away from يعني bad mixing, and we يعني make our own team and play, no problem inshallah. In this way, no problem. نعم والله أعلم. And not only football, by the way. I don't know why. It's because the English love football. Any other sports, yani, swimming, or yani, tennis, or whatsoever, no problem.
We're running out of time. There's six questions there. We'll shift to as many as possible. Maybe we can have very quick one to shift, inshallah. What is the ruling of on cutting hair uneven for men?
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned against a style of haircut called al-qaza. Al-qaza is to shave part of the head and leave part. So that is not allowed. That is not allowed. As for hair cutting, yani it is not treated as shaving, as qaza. But we ask, what is the reason you do that? Oh, it's a style. Akhi, we Muslims are not, yani, we should not be addicted to styles of haircuts. Because when you look after it, you find that the background of it came, coming from the kuffar, and not any kuffar, it is from the singers, the actors,
gay people.
Gay people, yeah, sometimes gay people. And they just, yani, imitate. Anything, any fashion that is new, you know, they like it. That's not the duty of the Muslim. The duty of the Muslim is to be the one who is followed, not the one who follows. He is a leader. Every Muslim is a leader on this earth. He should be followed. He should be the example. Not to follow the others. Allahu a'lam.
Is it permissible to have children's clothes and bed sheets with pictures? Somebody mentioned in the narration of Aisha Radha Anha having a blanket with a picture of a horse. Is this authentic? Barakallahu fiik. Assalamu alaikum.
Now, first of all, let's just correct this. This is yani misunderstanding. The horse did not come on the... first of all, there was no blanket. It was a curtain. The second, it wasn't a horse. It just said a picture, an image. But the horse is with the toys that Aisha used to play with. She made by her hand, by wood, something strange. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "What is this?" She said, "A horse." He said, "A horse with wings?" She said, "Did you hear of the horse of Suleiman?" Then he laughed, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because she thought that Suleiman had a horse with wings, which is not correct. Now, but it's yani spread like that since that day. Having, and when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came in to the house, and the curtain which has the image was hung on the wall, he did not enter. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not enter. She said, "Ya Rasulullah, what happened? Why you don't enter?" He said, "Didn't you know that the angels do not enter a house which has the picture hung, yani an image, an art hung, and a dog inside the house?" So she immediately took that curtain and tilled it to pieces and made it as a rug or as a pillow or something like that. Now she cut it into pieces. Now this is not an evidence for us to go and buy clothes with pictures, for even if it is for the children, it's not permissible. First of all, when they come with it to the masjid and salah, they are going to annoy the people. Especially if it has lines drawn on it. After he finished the prayer, he said, "Remove this and bring me that plain black car, because this annoyed me in salah. Made me to lose my tranquility in salah." And he's Rasulullah. So what about a picture? And some pictures are very bad. Now, it is not permissible to have a picture on the shirt of the children. And the second thing, that where is the tarbiyah? Where is the tarbiyah? When we yani raise up our children in this age, would like that we choose, not they do by their hands, but we choose for them that, "Oh, this is nice dress yani, with the picture on it." Where is the tarbiyah? We want to raise them up upon Islam, Abu loving the Sunnah, Abu staying away from such kind of imitating the kuffar. Now, and what's wrong with the clothes which has no any picture on it? Or writing, sometimes writing. Not only pictures, even writing. And some of the writings are so bad, but they just buy them. But they just buy them. Now, Allah Akbar.
What is the ruling of working in a mixed environment for a man and then for a woman, and what is the difference?
No difference in al-haram. Unless if this man is so pious that he would never be attracted with any woman. No woman would have his attraction, then he is, I don't think he is a pious. But he needs, we have something in Arabic called what? Who knows? Huh? La. No. We have something. Might I know? Khunsa. Khunsa means he does not have any desire. Any desire. Him and the woman are the same. If he is like that, then he should yani introduce himself that he is khunsa. Now, but a man who is a man cannot work with yani in an environment which are women next to him, and you know the woman here. And the winter they come in tight jeans. And the summer they come...
No clothes. Dear respected Imam, what is your perception of the Tablighi Jamaat? Are they deviated?
Well, let me ask you this question. Do you think that they are up on the Sunnah? And how can you prove it? First of all, what do we know about Jamaat Tablighi? That's it. That's the question. What do we know about Jamaat Tablighi? Anybody can tell me? Okay, a reform from a man who originated from India. That is not one good. From India, from Saudi, from Yemen, it's not a problem, man.
And their origin based on Sufism.
Okay, this is one. Based on Sufism. Naam.
They believe that calling, giving dawah is jihad.
Well, giving dawah is jihad. Yeah. True. It's one way of jihad.
Going out to give dawah is jihad.
What I'm doing now. Didn't I come out of my country? It is jihad.
I think what he means is they...
I know what he means. I know what he means, but I wanted to say it correctly. I wanted to say it correctly.
I think they think that they're doing the hijra. Like Prophet and it is a very important act.
I don't think that they believe so. They never say that they do hijra. Because hijra means to leave one place to another place. But they don't leave, they just turn around.
Yeah, but they think, some of them told me that they think that this is comparable to the hijrah.
Then they need to know what is the definition of hijrah in Arabic. Hijrah means to leave one place and stay in another. That's it. That is the meaning of hijrah.
They do ghulu in the issue of making tabligh to other Muslims to the extent that they start to... give the wrong tafsir of the ayat that talk about jihad fi sabilillah qital, and then they change the meaning to tabligh. That's what the problem
is. I had a conversation with one tabligh designer person, and I don't know how many of he when he joined, but he said that there are six. He said that there are six pillars of Islam. The sixth one being Tablighi Jamaat. And actually, because Prophet ﷺ didn't receive the command to perform Salat before he actually did Tablighi in Medina, therefore Tablighi is actually more important than Salat itself.
JazakAllah khair, but this is wrong. This is not correct. Yani what they said is that Prophet ﷺ did not make Salah until he made Tabligh in Medina. This is wrong. Because in Mecca, he was making Salah, prostrating by the Kaaba when the Kuffar brought the dirt and put it on his back, on his neck. How would they say he did not perform Salah? And Abu Bakr Siddiq in Mecca was forced to leave Mecca because he attracted the women and the children by his nice voice in Salah. It is said like that, in Salah. So they used to pray. But the prayer, and the other thing, and they used to pray like that when the prayer wasn't obligatory as five times prayers, the way we pray today, until the 10th year of prophethood, not hijrah, prophethood. That was in Mecca. When he was raised in the Isra and Mi'raj, and he was given the command of Salah five times a day at this way. Now, and this was in Mecca, and he remained in Mecca 3 years before he went to Medina after this incident. Now, so this is not correct. And what Brother Faisal meant is they consider that going with the Jama'ah for Tabligh is one way of jihad. Even if you don't know any ilm. And they say it is better than the jihad, which is the fight. Fi sabilillah. And they say it is better than seeking knowledge. And that's why when they read from the book of An-Nawawi, rahimahullah, Riyad al-Salihin, number of chapters, they cross them. They don't read them at all. The chapter of Ilm, the chapter of Jihad, the chapter of Amr bin Ma'ruf and Nahy al-Munkar. Although these are ayat and hadith. They say, no. Seeking Ilm wastes our time. And one of them said it to me in Jeddah. We had a type of debate and he said, Yani, your ulama are wasting their time sitting here. And the people are dying in India and in America. And in Ashraf, طيب, Jama'at Tabligh is found in India. Why they left India? They should remain there until they bring the 1,000 million Indian to Islam. And then move to Pakistan. Rather than they move to Saudi or to America. They left India. Like if they hate the Indians. They don't want Indians to become Muslims. What is that? They are found in India. If they are sincere, they should be there and call the Indians to Islam. But before that, they need to go to the Indian scholars. There are Indian scholars, Ahlul Hadith. They should go to them and learn knowledge from them. And then they go. But the problem is, and one day in Canada, I was doing some conference there, and between Maghrib and Isha, there was a special class for a brother from France who just came to Islam, him and his two sons. So I was sitting with them every day, teaching them الدروس المهمة لعامة الأمة for Sheikh bin Baz. Very simple book. Teaches the tafsir, some ayah, surahs of tafsir. Tafsir of some surahs of Quran, and then chapter 2, some basics of Aqidah, then how to pray, then Salah, Siyam, Zakah, Hajj, like that, and then manners and characters, like that. So I was teaching them, and one day after we finished the chapter of Aqidah, chapter of Tawheed, the chairman of the masjid came to me, and he said that there are two guys want to give salam to you. I said, welcome. I did not know who they are, from where they are, what they are. When they came up, I saw them. I knew one of them. I knew him from Jeddah. He used to come to my Dawah center where I teach. And I, at that time, I was giving a conference to the non-Arab du'at, the non-Arab da'is. Most of them are reverts. Who we are preparing to them to give da'wah. So we teach them the knowledge and what to speak about and like that. And he used to come and sit in the first row, quiet, and he's Saudi, and I said, SubhanAllah, who's this guy? A couple of days he comes, he doesn't ask, he doesn't answer questions when I ask, he doesn't say nothing. So I went to the management and asked the manager there, who's this guy coming to my class? He said, oh, he's an English teacher, Saudi English teacher, who insisted to come and give da'wah, and he's with the Tablighi Jama'ah. He said, what end does he have? Yeah, he said he has a degree in English. He said, but we don't want to teach the Filipinos English. We want to teach them Islam. We don't want to teach them English language. And is he in Canada to teach the Canadian English, or I don't know. So they came both. I asked them, yeah guys, what brought you here? Who is ill so you came to treat him here? Because the medicine science there is very advanced, as in the West, you know. I said, maybe you came accompanying someone who is ill for treatment or what? They said, no, Sheikh, we came like you. I said, what do you mean by like you? What do you mean by that? See, I'm like you, giving da'wah. I say, who allowed you to go out and give da'wah? Can you show me the permission from any scholar? I can show you. But can you show me? He said, Akhiyani, the ilm we had from the schools in Saudi is not enough. I said, well, to us it is more than enough. Because from class 1, they teach us, Man Rabbuka, Rabbi Allah. Madinuka, Din al-Islam. They teach us how to perform wudu when we are just 6 years old. And it goes with us until we graduate from the college. Even if you are studying engineering or medicine, you still have to study it even in the college to keep it with you. So I said, to us it is enough, but to you guys, you left India and you came to Saudi, it's not enough. That means you do not find it enough. That's why you brought some experts from India to teach you Islam. What is that? Come out with us and we'll give you a massage. That is their way. You go with them, they carry your slippers, and they give you a massage all the time. And then you come with them, you just newly came to practicing or to Islam. Say, I say, stand up and say something. Allah will make you able to say good things. You just stand up, try. What try, akhi? What try? This is wrong. I said to him, akhi, this is wrong. What you do is wrong. He said, look, Sheikh, you, Tulab al-Ilm and the scholars, and us, like the doctors in the hospital, and we are like the, as we say, the Red Crescent, and you guys here say the Red Cross, A'udhu Billah. Right? So we go to where the car accident is, and we get first aid to the injuries and bring them to you and you treat them. I said, wallahi, you know, I swear by Allah, since you guys came, no doctor is doing nothing. All the doctors are just chasing the flies and killing the flies because they have nothing to do. All the injured people are with you. One eye, one leg, one hand. You know, they are all running with you because you guys warned them against Al and the ulama. And let me just give you this, because this is a very important subject, Ikhwan. Let me give you this story that they fabricated. They fabricate stories. I'll tell you two stories, and then I'll come back to my two friends. Okay? One story, my brother-in-law, my wife's brother, has a football team. He's, you know, like any young Muslim youth. They play football. So Jamaat Tabligh came to them and they said, "Ya Shabab, we want you to go with us on a picnic to the sea. We have a camp by the sea. You come with us and we play with you." Those guys went with them. When they arrived to where they are camping, they said to them, "Oh, subhanallah, we forgot to bring the rice. We have only this little rice. How come it be enough for us?" Allah al-Musta'an. But we tell you something. You guys go play, go swim, and Allah, but please purify your intention, and Allah will increase it. So those guys went to playing and swimming. One of them returned back for something. He wanted something from the car. When he came back, he found him opening the trunk of other car, the boot of our other car, and bringing a big sack of rice. And they put it on the boat and they cooked the rice. When food was ready, they called the guys. They said, "Ya Ikhwan, come, billahi, say Bismillah, the barakah this." And they opened this. "Oh, subhanallah, look, mashaAllah, wallah, you all have good intentions. That's why Allah Ta'ala increased the rice." that guy who saw them, he looked at his friends and laughed. And he said, "Guys, wallahi, I saw them bringing the big sack from the other carpool." So, they even lie. They say, "Fisabilillah." We don't lie to gain anything for us. This is Fisabilillah. One other story to show you how they turn people away from ilm. This ummah is only known with ilm. Only known with ilm. There is no in any ummah there is no huffaz, memorizers like this ummah. Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawood, this. memorizer. They memorize thousands of hadith. Naam? Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. So this, they had new tribe Muslims. New tribe Muslims. And they said to them, Ya Ikhwan, we are going to visit the alim today. I said, yeah, okay, mashallah, good, good. Because, you know, the awam think that, oh, as you practice, you must know the alim. So I'm going to go close to the alim. Okay, let's go. So these guys went with them. On the way, they already sent someone to drop a mushaf on the ground. To put a mushaf on the ground. On the way, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Mus'ab on the ground, what a bad man who did this. And they took the Mus'ab, astaghfirullah, cleaned it. Kissing the Mus'ab. And then they said, Ya Khawan, A'udhu Billah. And they opened the Mus'ab. Allah, astaghfirullah. They already made some changes on the Mus'ab. Now, A'udhu Billah. This Mus'ab is corrupted. Allah, Mustahan. Ya Khawan, what do we do? This Mus'ab is not the original, this is corrupted. They inserted some words inside the ayah. Should we throw it in the garbage? No, because some of it is Allah's speech. True. Should we read from it? No, because it is corrupted. What do we do? Put it on the shelf. And then they said, Ya Ikhwan, the alim is like that. You should not disrespect the alim. You should respect him. But on the shelf. You put the alim on the shelf and continue your way. Allah musta'an. See how, back to my friends. I said to them, Ikhwan, listen. These are new Muslims. These two young guys and their father are new Muslims. We just taught them a durus al-muhimma, very basic. Any Saudi can answer the question of it. If he is serious in seeking knowledge. So, come and sit with them, and we'll examine you. Whoever passes, wallahi, I'll give him a certificate, stamped from the center, from the Saudi embassy in Canada, that he is capable to go and give da'wah. What do you think? They say, Sheikh, you're mocking us. I say, no, I'm serious. I'm telling you I'm serious. But believe me, if this guy passed the exam and you did not, and you do not, you will have to follow him. You will have to go to his circle and you say, Mr. Zhu, teach me. It's not shame. It's not shame. I say, no. I say, Akhi. Now we are in the summer. In Saudi Arabia, lots of conferences in the summer. The ulama leave their families and travel all around the country to teach the people the ilm. So why you leave Saudi Arabia? Why you fly away like the fly run away from fog? You should sit there and learn from the ulama. Not escape. But this is how yani Jama'at. That's why I believe that Jama'at Tabligh is one of the deviant sects. They are one of the deviant sects. Because if they are not of the deviant sects, they must be upon the sunnah of Rasulullah, upon the way of Rasulullah. Did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they say Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Mus'ab ibn Umayr to Medina. Do you know who is Mus'ab ibn Umayr? Mus'ab ibn Umayr is a great alim. He sent Mu'ad to Yemen. Do you know who is Mu'ad? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Mu'ad in the day of resurrection will come in a very far distance ahead to the queue of the ulama. You compare yourselves with Mu'ad? I said to them, show me one single time. Didn't Rasulullah send Mu'ad? Okay, he sent him. Who did he send with? Mu'ad is the alim. He sent him to Yemen. Did he send 10, 30 people with him? Okay, go and learn from him and accompany him. No. You should remain seated in the class. He is going there busy teaching people something else. You should remain here with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And learn. And he sent Mu'ad and he accompanied him with Ali ibn Abi Talib, another scholar. Another occasion, Mu'adh and Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, another scholar. These are scholars, big scholars. Very big, big scholars. It's not yani, common people. You just send anybody and then at the middle of the journey, you say, Akhi, stand up and give us bayan. What bayan can he give you? He said to me, Akhi, wallah, if you see, we have brought so many people out of the bar yesterday. I said, yeah, correct. You brought them out of the bar to the minbar. And they were drunk when they gave the khutbah. What's this, Akhi? What's this? Is it okay to just say that we brought them out of the bar? You brought them out of the bar, but you did not teach them the proper tawheed because you don't know it. You don't know it. So you need to go and learn and then teach the people. Allah musta'an. That's it. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad alayhi wa sallam.